I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know.
I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Hello, egg hunters. Welcome to the fifth episode of the 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. We're five in.
Five eggs.
We're nearly half a dozen.
Yeah.
We're in the middle of the Egg Olympics, it feels like. The Egg Olympics.
Oh, my.
Some great eggs have come and gone already, haven't they, in this list?
Kalina.
Kalina, Charlton, Lechkov, and an entire team yesterday.
Leeds United 0-1.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. More to come, though, Marcus, isn't there?
A lot more to come.
I hope so.
Because this is the fifth episode of 12.
Exactly. Bless you, Peter.
I think I'm allergic to eggs, guys. I've got an egg intolerance.
Yeah.
Today, we have a true Premier League great. It's Thierry Henry.
Ooh. Oh, a lot of debate about this one. Yes. A lot of debate.
I think the fiercest debate we've had internally ever about whether we truly accept Thierry Henry as an egg or not.
Yeah, it's up there with 2015's should Peter be allowed to not wear trousers in the studio?
Yeah.
No, I remember that one.
But still you don't.
Yeah, exactly.
To be fair,
it's not the sight, it's the smell they don't understand.
I remember that being settled quite quickly, actually. It was as unanimous as one could try.
Trying to pass your deal, though, didn't you?
Yeah, to paraphrase.
I'm bringing it back to the table, Jim.
Trousers mean trousers. Right?
Yeah. It's not a bad smell, it's alluring, and that's what confuses them.
Very confusing. Yeah.
Top level Earth Francais.
But you're French egg. You are right, Luke, to say there was fierce debate. And I think that Jim got Henri through on a technicality as a voluntary egg.
Yeah. Well, I mean...
Well, Jim, you were at the forefront of this debate. You were the one who were banging the drum
for Henri. Over Ian Wright, if I may put a sort of peek behind the eggy curtain.
But the thing with Henri is,
you can find pictures of him as late as New York Red Bull with hair. But I think throughout his career, he has consistently chosen to not have hair, which obviously makes him a voluntary egg. So, I mean, where do we stand on that?
Classy egg, suave egg,
absolutely.
Top level egg, Fabergé egg.
A
very collectible egg.
Yeah, and I think he became an egg for streamlining because, you know, it's marginal gains, isn't it? And his pace was electric, but why not electrify it slightly more?
Aggregated marginal gains, for sure. Sure.
Can I say that Henri obviously came to the Premier League at Arsenal in 1999, and it was almost as if... As Henri grew and got better, the Premier League grew as well. Do you see what I mean by that? Because obviously in the 90s, the Premier League came to be called the Premier League, and then with Sky Sports and the money started to flow and whatnot. But it really kind of got into its Premiership, as it was called back then, which some people still call it. It really got into its stride in the early noughties for me, really kind of what it is now. Mm. And that was as Henri was getting better. Is it links, Jim, is all I'm asking.
It's a flag-bearing egg.
I would personally say yes, because for reasons of huge bias. But I know what you mean, but it was the class of Henri, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Because he scored so many goals in the Premier League and in England generally. But he didn't do tap-ins. Did he? If you look at his highlight reel, it's up there with anyone's. Because, I mean, the one sort of tapping I can think of was a back heel against Charlton when he was being marked. And it was a back heeled nutmeg, which is pretty phenomenal. And speaking from a personal fanboy sort of point of view, Henri was like a superhero to me and my Arsenal supporting friends. And it's very rare that you're in a position where you're thinking... This is probably our best ever player. This might be the best player we ever have playing for us now, winning us league titles now.
Yeah.
And this is amazing. I think everyone absolutely appreciated what we had at the time as well.
Yeah.
And
I remember, similar to Pompey and Brett Pittman now?
Yeah, well, in light of recent events, absolutely. Mm. I think probably Brett's more of an athlete, I'd say. And the thing is, Brett definitely looks younger for his age than Thierry.
Yeah,
100%. But you know, talking about Thierry Henry tap-ins, you guys could possibly disavow me of this notion. I kind of have a memory in my mind of Henry regularly bombarding forward late on and finishing moves after the ball's been squared into an empty net.
Yeah.
So he didn't kind of score those type of goals. But he wasn't like a poacher, was he?
I know
the point you're trying to make.
Appropriately enough, yeah.
I played alongside another... egg as well, Nicolas Anelka.
Sylvain Viltord as well, and on a notable egg.
A lot of eggs
egg
around him.
Yeah, there were.
Pascal Sagan.
Well, very much so.
But actually, influential. Talking of influential eggs.
He did do tap-ins, but they were quite often from outside the area and there were defenders around. So
it looked like a tap-in.
Sometimes they did, didn't they?
The way he just stroked the ball into the net.
He scored all kinds of different goals, and it was one of those players you just know he was going to do something amazing in the game, and it was absolutely joyous. And one of the sort of regular... things, if you look at his highlight reel now, there's a lot of goals from New York Red Bull in those best ofs because he scored a lot of goals for them as well. But a really like comically, you know, common thing amongst that is him just scoring some screamer and all the defenders around him just going, for fuck!
Yeah.
Like, oh, God! The difference in class is very clear.
I didn't sort of like realise how many games he'd actually played for New York. He's 122.
Yeah.
Like, in the twilight of a career, I was like, Jesus, that is quite a lot of games for a career which is like, oh, it's kind of ending now.
Well, he
122 games, so he's got it.
He went to New York when he still had a bit in the tank.
Mm.
It wasn't a case of, oh, I'll just kind of see it out and whatnot. Because he'd won pretty much everything, combined with Arsenal and Barcelona. But I think with Henri, it's always careful to make these sort of bold statements, but certainly for a lot of people in this country, he was probably one of the first players who played that was the modern forward. It wasn't just a poacher, as we as we say. He would work the channels, of course, previously a winger, so he was comfortable doing that. But he loved an assist as well.
Yes.
He wasn't just all about goals. And I think that you know, those kind of forwards, we think of someone like Didier Drogba being a bit like that. You could even say Harry Kane as well, in current one.
Neither of those players are as skillful as Thierry Henry.
but they're all-round forward players.
Yeah.
So that modern forward, for me, he was one of the first really, for my money, in my own attention, would you say? Would you agree?
Yeah, I know what you're saying. There was a season where he got over 20 goals and over 20 assists in the Premier League.
2002-03,
ridiculous.
He scored 32 goals in all competitions and got 23 assists.
And including goals for France in that year, he got something like 60. It was absolutely mad.
But when I'm talking about that modern forward, I'm talking, you know, because now there's strike partnerships, and he did have strike partnerships as well. But when you're talking about just the one forward up front who could sort of do it all, and much more was demanded of them rather than just being a bit of a goal hanger and whatnot, he was definitely in that type, perhaps at a time when those kind of forwards were becoming a bit more in vogue.
Yeah. Well, it was like two players at once.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Drogba came in about a year or so after that season we're talking about there.
Drogba wasn't as nearly prolific as Henri in terms of goals.
No, but he did almost... redefine, but he did really well. I think possibly he did define in that era what a forward can do in the Premier League.
Yeah, no, Drogba was a brilliant player.
Henri obviously contributed far more goals. He was just an all-round complete forward. I mean, he scored every type of goal. He was an elegant player. He was a skillful player. He was a quick player. He had two good feet.
Not too many headers though.
No, well, you got to protect the egg. Yeah. you don't want to crack the egg.
Yeah, true.
Look how difficult he found it first season at Barcelona, where they sort of found him out on the side, and he's just like, I'm just not getting involved enough. Like, he obviously came in as a winger, and Arsene Wenger converted him into again a complete forward.
Sure, but a totally different style of play. But he was Barcelona's top scorer, the club's top scorer in his first season, I think, with 19.
Yeah,
but he didn't have it all his own way.
No, it took him a while to get into the new system, but that's understandable when you've been the main man for so long. But his record at Barcelona is actually a lot better than he's given credit for. It was almost 1-in-2 goal scoring ratio, which obviously a team like that is. I think was there a season where it was he, Messi and Eto'o playing together?
That's right.
And they got, I think they hit 100 goals exactly between them, which is phenomenal. And Marcus, I remember you and I saw Henri playing the Champions League final against Man United, and he wasn't on the ball that much, but his job seemed to be to like confuse Rio Ferdinand, and like he made so many dummy runs throughout the game.
He said in that film we watched, we covered it for an OTC event on the Continent event, and the documentary itself about Guardiola in Barcelona, Thierry Henry's a talking head in it, and he said that in training and in when they worked on their shape, he was instructed by Guardiola to make that run inside the fullback
all the time.
Yeah, and he said he knew, and he was told even that in no uncertain terms, 8 out of 10 times he's not going to get the ball. But that's not the point. You've got to keep doing it. Do that run. Make that run. Because you'll confuse the defence. You'll just drag them out of position. You'll make it difficult for them. And occasionally you will get the ball as well. And it's a testament to how much they love Guardiola's methods. Another egg, by the way.
Oh yeah.
An egg Jedi and an egg apprentice. And obviously Thierry Henry, the egg, has taken his knowledge into management with great success as well so far. But anyway, that's a different point. And he would do it. He would just do it. Because Guardiola said, this is part of the system. This is what you've got to do. And he would do it. So that's what you were witnessing obviously.
The most exhilarating image of Thierry Henry is the way he would sort of glide and then just stop. And the defenders would go, oh, he's going to do something good.
Yeah,
and you could almost physically see them vomiting in their own mouth.
Their bones would be shattered. Their bones would start to like shake.
And it didn't matter if that was Charlton or, very famously in one particular example, Real Madrid. But he was a real player for just you know, turning up in those massive games and scoring big goals, amazing goals.
Graham
as well.
Sooner said the only way to stop him is with an AK-47.
Not appropriate, is it?
But Graham Sooner probably does have an AK-47.
Yeah.
Marvellous. Well, in the second part, we're not going to mention AK-47s, ladies and gentlemen. We will talk more Thierry Henry.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Welcome back to the 12 Eggs of Easter.
Do you like this egg?
Sponsored by Bet365.
Do you like this egg?
Of course I do. That's what I'm talking
about.
This
egg in particular. This is my favourite egg in the series.
Yes.
Try it again, Pete.
Do you like this egg?
Yes. Carry on, Mark.
It's strange to think that he was an out-and-out winger to start off with, because we know him. Well, it's not strange, I suppose.
There's a little bit of a fallacy, that, because Wenger recognised when he had him at Monaco that his best position was as a striker, but he felt that he'd be more effective taking on fullbacks than he would centre back. So he played him out there to start with, and part of the idea was to actually up his ability at beating a man, which is where he gets that sort of stop-starty quality from. Mm. So he was always sort of a striker.
Yeah, that's fair.
And he tried it with Theo Walcott as well, which worked to the same degree in many ways.
In a few ways.
Well, I think another part-time egg, by the way.
Yeah. But I think Walcott kind of demanded that because he watched it on replay so often. Yeah. And he's just like, look, I deserve... I've scored a couple of goals from the same sort of positions out on the wide. So I demand a starting striker's berth.
That was his big thing for years, wasn't it, Theo?
And then he got given it and he was just shit at it.
Yeah. Well, he's bad. Yeah.
Certain games he would do okay at it, but yeah.
I can't defend him.
It's not about Theo, is it?
No, it's not.
You
about
can
Theo.
Defend him, and that's the problem.
This might be a spoiler, but Theo will not be making this list of eggs at Easter. No. Although we wish him a lovely Easter.
Maybe next year.
He's had good moments in his career.
He's scored 100 goals for Arsenal, over 100 goals.
Exactly. Hat-trick for England away at Croatia.
100 goals for Arsenal in 100 years. Not bad.
Without Messi or Eto'o.
Well, there we are. Thierry Henry, France's highest goal scorer of all time with 51 goals, 123 appearances. That's pretty impressive considering some of the players that they've
had. And he's won everything there is to win in the game as well.
Yes, you know, he has
international level and club level as well.
Won the 98 World Cup on home soil, didn't he?
Yeah. I've mentioned this stat a lot, well, up yours.
Is it not
like
a fact you're about to say?
It is a fact, yeah. The goal that Henri scored against Brazil in the World Cup in, was it...
2006,
yes, where Zidane floated the ball in. That was the only time he and Zidane ever combined for a goal for France.
Yeah.
Isn't that weird? Like, one of the greatest ever players and their top scorer.
That is weird.
Well, there were so many appearances between them. Yeah. Zidane liked a goal and assist, and same with Henri.
Egg squared as well.
Two egg omelette.
Yeah. It is quite strange.
Two egg omelette, exactly.
Yeah, he scored a few goals at World Cup 98, it did Henri.
And it came quite early in his career, didn't it, as well?
It did, yeah. Well, he scored his penalty in the shootout against Italy as well. I think he came on in the semis against Croatia, but he didn't feature in the final.
No.
Sadly.
There's that iconic image of him just sprinting off the...
touchline as well.
Oh, to celebrate.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, he scored a few goals at Euro 2000, though, and started in the final against Italy when they won on with the golden goal, of course, and then played in that 2006 final. So, you know, he had a good time at international level.
Oh, for sure.
Out loud, yeah. Yeah.
I do remember at Euro 2004 when England played France, and Steven Gerrard playing that absolutely suicidal back pass. And like, because you're almost used to the imagery of Henri from watching him so closely. It was just like, oh, no, oh, God, it's never been against me before.
That was when we were still...
No way this isn't a goal.
That was when we were still in the funk of what the England team were like at that point.
Yeah.
That was when it was all... What year was that? That
was 2004, wasn't it?
So we're all building up to the... It's basically that was the start.
Golden generation.
Yeah, that was just because 2002 wasn't too bad.
2004 was really good. We started badly because of that.
Yeah. But we.
No, you're talking about the hype.
Yeah, I'm talking about the fact that 2002, we came up against Brazil. It was a bit unfortunate. Whatever. 2004 to 2016, inclusive, was dreadful.
Yeah.
And now we're at the other side of that. So we can look back at that and laugh. Not really laugh because we haven't won anything still. But anyway, I remember it well. Did Zidane score a penalty and puked before he did so?
Yes.
Another egg.
Another egg puking up all over the place.
You don't have to point out every egg, guys. It's fine.
We don't have to.
Yeah, I know.
We
will. Yeah. But we will.
Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Sorry, Marcus.
Go on.
I was just saying, talk about the 5-1 against Inter, where he just absolutely...
That was very good.
Believe my luck that day.
There was the newspapers
I was so confused by that.
Why?
I just didn't expect it.
Well, they beat us 3-1. In the game earlier on.
Yeah.
And, at home, right?
Yeah. They were really, really dominant. I remember the teletext headline was Inter floored you. And it's like, oh, that's annoyingly good.
Yeah.
And then just to take them apart like that was fantastic.
And it was sort of a one-man performance because he was just so good. One Italian newspaper just carried the headline, Kneel Down Before the King.
Nice.
Which is nice. And another one just put a picture of Edvard Munch's
the scream
yeah, to indicate what the supporters were going, oh, God!
Well, speaking of kneeling, that kneel slide, the statue outside the Emirates, which is a nice one.
And he's also an egg in that statue. So really, the iconic image of him is as an egg. And he's also an egg in the most recent car adverts he's doing for Renault, is it? Where he pretends to be friends with all those football fans. Quite a weird... concept though.
Va-va-voom, mate.
One, right.
Oh, so, I'd love that gig.
Yeah, you would.
I just want to meet Thierry Henry and thank him.
Yeah.
Must remember to thank him. Yeah. But of course, at Barcelona, he was a part of the first Guardiola side. I think we previously mentioned that, where they won 6 trophies in 2009 because they won the league, they won the Copa del Rey, they won the Champions League, which you mentioned, Jim, and then they went on to win the Super Cup, the Spanish Super Cup, and the Club World Cup, which was actually Guardiola's most successful year, sort of straddles 2 seasons, technically.
6 trophies in a calendar year, was it? And I think, did Pedro score in all of them?
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And he was the only
there was a point where
he never scored in the Champions League final, because that was Eto'o.
No, I mean in the competitions.
I see what you mean. Well, Pedro would eventually keep Henry out the side in the sort of next season.
There was a period of time where Pedro had won more trophies than games he had lost, which is just ridiculous. You say that that was Pep Guardiola's most successful year. I mean, it's quite hard to be more successful.
Well, win every competition
it's
you're
not
in.
Possible.
6 of them.
Yeah, but I just think that when
you have to invent a new competition,
of course. But when people talk about Guardiola's sides, and really Barcelona, you could say properly got into Guardiola's stride, if you like, when they beat Manchester United 3-1 at Wembley in the second Champions League final they placed faced them in. But actually, you can forget that the first season with Henri in the side and that team with Yaya Toure as well and one or two others was actually technically the most successful side that Guardiola had, and they were a brilliant team as well. As I say, it was more peak Guardiola after Henri had gone, but that was where he was first getting his ideas over on the big stage, because Guardiola, that was his first job,
and that afforded
at senior level,
and that built his reputation, afforded him the time and all that kind of stuff, because he was able to say, look, I've won all these games and I've won all these trophies, and then because of that, no one's going to question him, and he can go and crack on.
Exactly, yeah. And then he decided his time was up. Obviously, we said went to New York Red Bulls, and
I think I saw him play for New York Red Bulls.
Well, early days before old Pablo left, him and Pablo Angel. Juan Pablo Angel.
Yeah,
because
yeah,
combined.
Juan Pablo Angel, I think, was the top scorer in franchise history for New York Red Bulls until Bradley Wright Phillips took it on. Because when I went to New York Red Bulls, I went to the trophy room and they had a pair of Juan Pablo Angel's boots.
Which they handed to you.
No, they said, you're our new man. but Bradley Wright Phillips has obviously taken that accolade now, I believe. But I'm fairly certain I saw Thierry Henry play there. It's 2014. He was still there then, I think.
You should remember that.
I should do, shouldn't I? But I've been to a lot of football games. My memory's terrible.
Didn't he come back to Arsenal for that FA Cup?
Yes, he did, Peter. He had a lovely little load.
Return of the egg.
He had a lovely little beard.
He came back with a beard, didn't he?
Yeah. It was really exciting. I was like, wow.
Yeah.
He looked great as well.
And he scored his trademark goal as well.
I remember you at the time, Jim, going, oh, he scored that goal. That's the goal we wanted him to score.
He couldn't quite cut it in any other match, though, apart from the FA Cup. No, he got a few goals.
He got a winner against Sunderland, you'll be pleased to know.
He got one against Blackburn that was taken away from him that I don't think should have been as well. But that doesn't count, it counts to me, mate.
But you're right, he was obviously...
It was given his own goal to Scott Dan.
Mm-hmm. He was a little bit off the pace, as you can imagine, because he was a bit older and had not been playing in the Prem for a good few years. But there were moments, and that moment against Leeds at home at the Emirates.
That's all you can ask for. You know, Lee Clark coming back to Newcastle, exactly the same, isn't it?
Exactly. Pal Cernicek
coming in for one match. Yeah, all the same.
Delightful, absolutely delightful. And then he moved into coaching, of course. Got to talk about his coaching for a moment. Arsenal teams incubating
the young players.
Exactly. Alex Iwobi's very... Much one to praise his methods, as is Romelu Lukaku, who absolutely loved having him at Belgium, as you could imagine.
Yeah, you can see why.
Yeah. I don't know what the Monaco players said about him, though, but he did become Roberto Martinez's assistant at Belgium. Of course, they finished third at the World Cup. Without Henri, would they have finished third?
Might come second. You don't know.
Exactly, yeah.
But to be fair to Thierry, he'd done his bit. I mean, they did okay in terms of scoring goals.
Yeah.
I mean, the idea that Roberto Martinez, as we said at the time, who cannot set up a team to defend, was like, right, I've got my new assistant, Thierry Henry. Brilliant. I mean, in theory, he should know about all the mistakes defenders make, but I'm not sure if he's going to help you.
Yeah. That was a lovely old job for Henry, wasn't it?
Oh, yeah.
Absolute lovely.
And then he would just turn up at the Sky Sports studio with egghead, beard, but the beard would be glistening weirdly, like some sort of glitter
beard oil in it.
Maybe he sort of lathers on the beard, some sort of membrane thing.
Yeah, and very popular.
I'd like to see him wearing one of those beard nets they have to wear at Pret.
Right.
To stop hairs going in the food. Uh-huh. I'd like to see him wear one of those when he's on telly.
So why?
Stop the hair going on the floor.
Beard going in his opinion.
Actually,
that's not a bad thing in football punditry, is it?
No, exactly. No,
I suppose so, yeah. Touched Carragher on the leg that time.
Yeah, that was good.
People enjoyed that.
That was very good.
Upset Tom Conti.
Did he?
Yeah, you remember he had a house and he wanted to knock it down and build a 40 million, a 40 foot fish tank in it. And Tom Conti had a house next door, so Tom Conti moved out because Thierry Henry was knocking his house down.
A 40 million pound fish tank?
Sorry, a 40...
Are you out of your mind?
40 gallon maybe? I don't know.
Same, innit?
No,
40 centimetres.
That was 40 feet.
40 feet,
40
okay.
feet fish tank.
Uh-huh.
Did it cost 40 million pounds? No.
Surely it's harder to move than just chill out for a bit.
Tom Conti bought his house for in Hampstead, a five-bedroom house, 165 grand 30 years ago. So I reckon he'll probably make good on the deal.
It'd be all
what
right.
do you reckon?
Yeah, I agree with you, Peter.
So he's upset Tom Conti, so, you know, good thing.
Is that good or bad?
I don't know. I don't know whether Tom Conti's nice or not.
It's good.
Yeah. Contentious egg.
Contentious house improvements egg. Mm. Boy, by the way,
coming up soon. Stop that.
There might be some more house improvement eggs. Possibly in a couple of days' time. We don't know yet.
All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, thank you very much for listening to episode 5 and our 12 Eggs of Easter, sponsored by Bet365. Back tomorrow.
This was a Radio Staccato production.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles and have an auto warranty about to expire or no warranty coverage at all, listen up. CarShield has a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that covers more parts than ever. Visit carshield.com/audio to find out how you could pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Get your free quote today at carshield.com/audio. That's carshield.com/audio.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
I actually got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad was thinking of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hey, folks, it's Marc Maron from WTF. I've been talking to all kinds of famous people in my garage since 2009, including a sitting president.
You know, I don't imagine you were flying in here on the chopper thinking like, you know, I am nervous about Marc.
No, I wasn't.
Okay, well, that's good.
That would be a problem.
It would be a problem.
If the president was feeling stressed about
it. Coming to my garage.
Coming to your garage.
And now there's even more WTF when you subscribe to the full Marin to get weekly bonus content and all WTF episodes ad-free. Listen to WTF wherever you get podcasts and subscribe to the full Marin at go.acast.com/WTF.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.